Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So happy Mother's Day to every member of our congregation who is a mother. And happy Mother's Day to everyone who is a grandmother, or an aunt, or a great aunt, or a godmother, or a stepmother, or a beloved neighbor or teacher, or a beloved babysitter. Everyone who does mothering of one sort or another, happy Mother's Day to you. I remember when I first started to understand how much motherhood was going to change me. Before Ben was born, I was the Episcopal chaplain at Boston University, and I loved going to the monastery in Cambridge, the Episcopal monastery in Cambridge, on Tuesday nights for their Holy Eucharist. As you might guess, monks are excellent preachers, and the music was heavenly. I hadn't been able to go to the monastery during my last 3 months of pregnancy. So when Ben was about 1 month old, my husband offered me a night of freedom to get back there. And I couldn't wait to go. And so off I went, looking forward to the stillness of that Adams Cram sanctuary and all the beauty that it contains. I walked the door of the sanctuary a few minutes before the service began, and a beloved but very blunt monk was handing out the bulletins. He looked up at me, and I watched the shock come over his face, and he said, "What happened to you? You used to look so elegant." I laughed. I had to laugh. In my seat, I found myself thinking about the 40 pounds of baby weight that I still had to lose, the small amount of sleep that I was getting, my inability to find time to put on makeup or do very much with my hair, and the way that spit up or drool or milk kept clinging to parts of my clothing no matter what I did. Even when I put my jacket on at the very last minute, I would find some baby drool on the sleeve. And right there, in that sanctuary, I realized that even when I managed to lose the baby weight and gain back some of my fashion sense, my love of self was going to be permanently altered, and my capacity for both joy and sorrow were going to be permanently doubled. John F. Kennedy created the Peace Corps in 1961, and he had a famous slogan, "The toughest job you will ever love." But ever since I became a stepmother and a mom, I've been pretty confident that that slogan really belongs to all the mothers of the world. Motherhood is the toughest job you will ever love. As soon as that baby is in our arms, as soon as the adoption agency hands over the two-year-old and we walk out the door, as soon as we say yes to becoming someone's mom, whether they are 6 seconds old or 6 months old or 6 years old or 16 years old, our lives are deeply, radically, profoundly transformed, ready or not. We get exposed to grace and joy, heartache and sorrow like nothing before. And worry. Did I mention the worry? I found myself thinking about the extraordinary and demanding vocation of motherhood when I read about our story in Acts today, where Matthias is chosen to replace Judas and take up the mantle of apostlehood. Scripture says they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Someone was needed to take Judas's place because he was gone. And Matthias got chosen because they needed someone. He was chosen because they cast lots, which for us might seem like a random process, but which the disciples felt could reveal God's hand about which the two disciples who were qualified should be called. And they might have thrown dice or pulled feathers out of a jar or rolled stones in some way. But whatever it was, Matthias was the one who was chosen. And from a human perspective, it's not completely clear what his credentials were or why he was picked. It didn't mean that Matthias was the smartest or the best dressed or the kindest. He was mysteriously chosen. And he must have taken up his role with as much talent and faithfulness as he could muster. Motherhood seems to be like that much of the time. We're called to become mothers, and we take up our role with as much talent and faithfulness as we can muster. And it is a precious, soul-changing work. But it often revolves around mundane tasks like making school lunches, or finding Band-Aids, or baking an incredible number of cupcakes almost all the time. And also spending 5 to 7 years reading a lot of Dr. Seuss books until we can recite them in our sleep. One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. And there are lots of seemingly other unimportant, repetitive, messy tasks. And of course, there are grand moments too. But the everyday work of picking up socks and glasses somehow ends up showing our children how we feel about them and what we're willing to do for their comfort and their joy and their safety. We don't know why we are blessed and challenged with the particular children we are given, but we are. And for reasons that are mysterious to us, we are given the gift of one or several children, whether through biology, or adoption, or marriage, and our lives are never the same. In the Gospel of John, Christ says, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." And it seems to me that those of us who follow Christ and are also mothers say those same words with very human and imperfect voices, and we say them to our children. "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." And even when we yell or second-guess ourselves or annoy them or are deeply annoyed by them, we know how much we want abundance to claim their lives, how much we want them to discover what they were built to do on this planet, how much we want our relationships with them to thrive, and how much we want them to discover friends and talents and lives of their own, even if those discoveries take them far away from us. Most of us are busy loving our children most of the time, even when they don't notice or when we're doing it imperfectly. And everyone has days that can be very imperfect indeed. But on days like today, we can step back for just a moment and marvel over the great blessings in our lives, the children who need nurturing, who bring so much richness and joy and unexpected vulnerability into our lives. So, gracious God, thank you for giving us the children you've given us to love and raise and mother. Help us to rise to the challenges that come with those blessings. Give us discerning hearts, patience and kindness, a lot of humor and gratitude. And help us to bring abundant life to our children and our church, our homes, our families, everywhere they are. Amen.